I'm Dream Queen. You're in the cab with me. Thank you so much for rolling. Thanks for showing up. It's another one of those days. It's not all like fluffy bunnies. If you want to learn more about the show, go on over to Linktree. You can find direct links to where you can hear past episodes, including this one in the future when it will have occurred in the past. Or we're already in the future and we're experiencing all of this at the same time. Because it sure seems like things ain't changing that much. Groundhog Day. No, I love you and thanks for following up with that. You can also find resources. You can get free copies of The Prophet to view online or download. I have links there that make it really easy for you to learn more about Khalil Gibran and his work. For those of you not familiar with the show, I'll fill you in. Our book club has been in existence for a little more than a year. It's been about a year and 4 months, and I thank everybody who's participated in it. We started out with Bell Hooks, All About Love, New Visions. We moved through Dr. Martin Luther King's collection of sermons called A Knock at Midnight. Now we're doing The Prophet. The Prophet is a story about a sage and a hermit named Al-Mustafa, who's taken up residence in a land called Orphalese for 12 years. Time has come for him to make the journey back home. His ship is on the horizon, arriving through the mist. As he makes his way from his hermitage to the seawall, the villagers put down their work, their plowshares, their looms, their hoes, their wine presses, and they follow him to the shore. Almitra, a seer woman, the first to meet the prophet upon his arrival, comes out of the temple and into the square and asks him, since he has wisdom and has been quietly observing them over the years, to share his experience and observations with the people while they await his ship. The prophet responds that he cannot tell them but what they already know within their hearts. But as nizmas that people want to hear things from the outside, he's going to share with them his observations according to their request. And now here we are with the topic being crime and punishment. Very appropriate for our times. I also looked up that familiar phrase, crime and punishment. I've never read the book. I don't know if anybody out there has. I don't know. I think it's one of those super, super long ones that like War and Peace. I don't really know if I'm going to get into all of that. However, it was written in 1866. I looked that up this morning. The Prophet, as we know, was completed in 1924. It was in production for 11 years. So it's fair enough to say that the learned Gibran was familiar with the novel Crime and Punishment. And a brief synopsis is, because I wasn't even really sure what it was about, but the overview, and this is from the dreaded Google, the novel follows the life of, forgive my pronunciation, Rodion Raskolnikov, a poor and intelligent student who believes that some people are justified in committing crimes for the greater good. Raskolnikov tests his theory by committing a murder, and the novel explores the psychological and emotional consequences of his actions. All right, now look, I only got like 25 minutes before I gotta get out of this chair and make it all clean in here for DJ Barnacle. So I'm gonna open here by telling you that this is going to carry over. I already know. The poem is too long. The things that need to come through are too vast and many. And also, it's a three-parter, really. When you look into the prophet, you may notice, as I have, that it can be dealt with in chunks. And that's really what I thought I was going to do here with the show. But there's a reason why this book has been in constant print for over 100 years. Is because it's so relevant to things that are happening today that we still continue to deal with. So when I would get into each poem, obviously, those of you who have been with me here know what's going on. I'm still, you know, I'm just bringing everybody in. Is that there's always a current event to relate to every single poem. You know, and that's fine. That's why we're here. I didn't wake up when I was 10 years old and say, I want to grow up one day and read to people on the radio. It's just how it happened, and it's here because we need it. So this little trilogy that's going on is, and this one is Crime and Punishment. Next week will be Laws. And then the week after that will be Freedom. And all of these are they're not more lengthy than anything we've done so far except the one today. So let's just settle in and not put any pressure on ourselves to understand it all here at once. I have highlights, I have notes, but I think this is going to be a bit of a long conversation here. So when we're talking about society today, someone testing the laws of murder, to do it for a greater good. Maybe I will. I don't need to read this book because it's happening right now. Crime and Punishment. This novel explores the psychological and emotional consequences of his actions. We're living that right now with Mr. Luigi in one form, right? We've talked about him for several weeks here. And that's one of the big stories. Except he was not poor. He's upset. And he committed a murder. On camera. Allegedly. It's allegedly. There's a lot of theories out there that the guy they got might not be the guy. But I honor that. Allegedly. Whoever did it, though. This person did it. In front of cameras and everything. With a manifesto. For the greater good of us, the poor, the Robin Hood murderer. So now we are, as a global community, because there are people overseas who are looking at America because of our position thus far through history and our position now. It's not egocentric for me to say that folks are looking at us. They are. And how we are emotionally reacting to this. All right. It's a lot on the table. Don't hide. Camille Yarborough. Don't hide. We can't hide from it. So I'm going to tell you what Khalil Gibran says. And then one of the judges of the city. Stood forth and said, speak to us of crime and punishment. And he answered, saying, it is when your spirit goes wandering upon the wind that you, alone and unguarded, commit a wrong unto others and therefore unto yourself. And for that wrong committed, must you knock and wait a while, unheeded, at the gate of the blessed? Like the ocean is your God self. It remains forever undefiled. And like the ether, it lifts but the winged. Even like the sun is your God self. It knows not the ways of the mole, nor seeks it the holes of the serpent. But your God self dwells not alone in your being. Much of you is still man, and much in you is not yet man, but a shapeless pygmy that walks asleep in the mist, searching for its own awakening. And of the man in you would I now speak. For it is he, and not your God self, nor the pygmy in the mist, that knows crime and the punishment of crime. Oftentimes I have heard you speak of one who commits a wrong as though he were not one of you, but a stranger unto you and an intruder upon your world. But I say that even as the holy and the righteous cannot rise beyond the highest which is in each one of you, so the wicked and the weak cannot fall lower than the lowest which is in you also. And as a single leaf turns not yellow, but with the silent knowledge of the whole tree, so the wrongdoer cannot do wrong without the hidden will of you all. Like a procession, you walk together towards your God self. You are the way and the wayfarers. And when one of you falls down, he falls for those behind him as a caution against the stumbling stone. Aye, and he falls for those ahead of him, who though faster and surer of foot, yet removed not the stumbling stone. And this also, though the word lie heavy upon your hearts, the murdered is not unaccountable for his own murder, and the robbed is not blameless in being robbed. The righteous is not innocent of the deeds of the wicked, and the white-handed is not clean in the doings of the felon. Yea, the guilty is oftentimes the victim of the injured, and yet still more often the condemned is the burden bearer for the guiltless and unblamed. You cannot separate the just from the unjust and the good from the wicked, for they stand together before the face of the sun, even as the black thread and the white are woven together. And when the black thread breaks, the weaver shall look into the whole cloth, and he shall examine the loom also. If any of you would bring to judgment the unfaithful wife, let him also weigh the heart of her husband in scales, and measure his soul with measurements. And let him who would lash the offender look into the spirit of the offended. And if any of you would punish in the name of righteousness and lay the axe unto the evil tree, let him see to its roots. And verily he will find the roots of the good and the bad, the fruitful and the fruitless, all entwined together in the silent heart of the earth. And you judges who would be just, what judgment pronounce you upon him who, though honest in the flesh, yet is a thief in spirit. What penalty lay you upon him who slays in the flesh, yet is himself slain in the spirit? And how prosecute you him who in action is a deceiver and an oppressor, yet who also is aggrieved and outraged? And how shall you punish those whose remorse is already greater than their misdeeds? Is not remorse the justice which is administered by that very law which you would fain serve? Yet you cannot lay remorse upon the innocent, nor lift it from the heart of the guilty. Unbidden shall it call in the night, that men may wake and gaze upon themselves. And you who would understand justice, how shall you, unless you look upon all deeds in the fullness of light? Only then shall you know that the erect and the fallen are but one man standing in twilight between the night of his pygmy self and the day of his God self, and that the cornerstone of the temple is not higher than the lowest stone in its foundation. Khalil Gibran, The Prophet on Crime and Punishment. That was a mouthful and an earful. So, I don't know where to start. I got a good 14 minutes or so here left with you. So, what was coming to me over the break was one of the last notes I took here. Khalil Gibran is very concerned about equity. I, myself, am very concerned about equity, as I'm sure many of you are. If you're not a supremacist, you're a friend of mine, which means that you're a fan of equity. The thing about equity is it comes with responsibility. When we stand in our power, we realize that we have abilities. Power is ability. And what's responsibility? It's your ability to respond. I love that breakdown. That means that we all stand shoulder to shoulder with each other, taking accountability for each other. I know many people aren't Christian. I know many of us hold Christian wounds. As we are living in a rising Christian nationalist state, I think it is important for us to study our oppressors and our would-be murderers. Okay? So just keep it real for some of us. The book that they live by. And one of the original sins was not just Eve and Adam. It's Cain and Abel. And when Cain sassed God, when God said, "Am I my brother? Where's your brother?" And Cain's like, "I don't know." God's like, "What do you mean you don't know? Where's your brother? My brother's keeper?" The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And why did Cain deny that he knew of his brother's whereabouts? Because he did not keep his brother safe. He murdered him. So, you know, these are all just books of stories here, but when we look at what the point is, because that's all we had is stories. When we're looking at what the point is is that we're all here together and we're all in it together. And I can't ask for equal rights if I'm not willing to take equal responsibility. Okay? And that's the part where Gibran's like, you're not going to want to hear this. And so the line right now is that the United Healthcare CEO deserved what he got. He was complicit in his own murder. The murdered is not unaccountable for his own murder. So that becomes sort of plain there. But he's not the only person that's ever been murdered. Ever. A lot of innocent people being murdered right now. Bombs dropping. Cops shooting unarmed people. Spouses murdering other spouses. You know, parents murdering children. Children murdering parents. I mean, that's why a lot of y'all don't watch the news, right? Because it's just a whole lot of that. Driving cars into crowds. So how's that your problem if it ain't on your street? We can sit over here and look across to New York and look at people getting set on fire. Not just once. Now it's trending. More than one person in the past 2 months or 1 month has been set on fire in a subway by someone else. I watched footage of a person, two people jumping a turnstile. That's fine. Everybody jumps turnstiles. But you jump the turnstile in the subway, take one step in to the right, and then you say, hey. And then you go two steps in, a shove to the left, and you shove someone into an oncoming train. I saw that on the news. I understand why you don't watch it. It was chilling. It's what's happening. Pandemonium is taking over. People are becoming overcome. And who do we blame? Don't blame myself. I don't go around pushing people and telling people to be pushed. Pushing people into trains. It's not the first time that's ever happened either. But there's, even with the presence of the so-called National Guard at certain subway entrances, even with their presence, this is still happening. So who's the guard guarding? And how do we get here? Especially those of us who are relatively young and who never voted for this, never had a say in the structure of our society. How do we take responsibility and hold ourselves accountable? I don't know. I'm not there yet. I just read this yesterday. No, it's not true. I also read it several years ago. There is a rage happening. There's a hopelessness happening. There's a I have nothing to lose going on. There's a coldness and a cruelty that's happening. There's a hiding. As Camille Yarborough was trying to say in that piece at the beginning of this hour, all hid. All hid. While all of this is going on, I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not pointing any fingers. Just my little attempt at pointing at the riddle. My little stabs at the answer. Thank goodness there's not a sphinx right here with laser eyes calling me out on all my wrong ones. You know? Good thing the quest does not depend on me. It depends on all of us. That's the closest I can get right now, is to say that, like, how can I bring more light in the darkness? How can I avoid scapegoating people or allowing myself to be a scapegoat? That's an important part of the journey. Scapegoat. It's a way to avoid responsibility. Not me, that guy. He did it. I've been over here being positive the whole time. I don't have nothing to do with what he's doing over there. I can't say that's necessarily true. When my spirit goes wandering upon the wind, unguarded and alone, my dark thoughts, the people I murder in my mind. If you study metaphysics, or if you don't, you need to read a little Einstein. Everything has energy and momentum. And I am just out here trying to take responsibility for my energy and keep my momentum going in the right direction. Some of the work that we've done together here on this show and I've done personally is like trying to break down the good and bad. People say, well, to have that binary is not really right. I don't know. I don't have a definitive answer yet. I think there is such a thing as universal law, certain rules, very similar to the laws of, what do they call it? The relativity. What goes up must come down. And that's what mystics would call one universal law. In order for dark to exist, there must be light. That's why they can't kill us all. We say, how did Assata Shakur survive? How did Angela Davis survive? When so many did not. How come she's allowed to teach at a prestigious college when another brother was murdered in his bed next to his pregnant wife? How come the pregnant wife and the baby survived? Fred Hampton. I believe it's universal law. So many dark ages. So funny, I'm talking about universal law, and here we are talking about crime and punishment. It's just been a theme in my mind. I'm not going to have time to pick apart all of the things that I would like to say here. So we're just going to, like I said earlier, bring it into the next couple of weeks. I'm going to take a couple of more minutes. And I'm going to make a recommendation for my mystics out there, the people who are into the mediums. You know, I'm into the mediums right now. And one lady channeled Judas. And it was very interesting whether that was really the Judas from the Bible or not. Everything that came through to me, it was just good things to think about, right? It's just things to think about. Jesus knew. Jesus told Judas in some Gnostic scriptures what he was going to do and that he should do it. And the need to be an example about blame, about justice, about taking responsibility. So, thinking about, I'm going to meditate the next few days on the scapegoat. I'm going to watch that again. You can kind of just type in the search engine, Judas and the scapegoat. And something might come up. And I'm going to see if I can do a little bit more on the social medias about it. But Judas basically told this medium and us who are listening is that he can't go on as long as we're here doing this. It was a really interesting thing to hear. And I'm mentioning it now because it's connecting directly with the collective responsibility. And I talk a lot about us being in Earth School together and that we can only go as far as the slowest in the class. Did your teacher ever assign you somebody to help? You're doing so good, they give you more work. Right? We hate that. Oh, you're so good. Here, do some more. No, I want more play. But if you want to rise, you don't rise alone. And we don't sink alone. And so Luigi Mangione is not out there by himself for good reason. Neither are the oppressors. So the questions I'm going to leave you with in my limited time. Oh, my God. And I just looked at the computer. I had this whole thing up here where I was going to go into the kids for cash. I was going to go into Biden pardoning the judge who was selling kids to for-profit prisons. Harsh sentences. Now, we know that if they got one guy for that and he's a judge, we know how they do. They prosecute one cop for the murders that 100 commit a day. So we already know that this is happening. I think that's how we're going to be looking at the next poem, too. I want to read y'all the first line real quick. This is a lawyer, and he asks about laws. This is for next time. Prophet answers, "You delight in laying down laws, yet you delight more in breaking them." Ooh, burn. He's calling them out. And I also wanted to, speaking of burn, talk about Red Onion Prison and those prisoners to set themselves on fire and did so many things to themselves to bring attention to the atrocities that happen in our prisons. Nobody's right here. Okay? It's all wrong. We're not going to solve it because I'm 30 seconds late. So I'm going to give it over to DJ Barnacle. I got to go. I love y'all.
In the Cab Radio is produced by Jada White, a.k.a. Dream Queen. Original theme music produced by Baby Weekend Boys and Icky Mac the Beat Jugular. Learn more at In the Cab Radio at Linktree. Thank you so much for tuning in.